1210 MW Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Let us stand all over this place as we prepare our hearts to hear what the Lord has to say on today. Father, we thank you now for this preaching privilege, and God, it is our prayer that you would speak a word into our hearts and into our minds, God, a word that will remind us that you are God and God alone. We thank you now, God, for your spirit, our teacher, the one who will give us an understanding. We thank you and we give you praise for these and all blessings in that name that is above every name. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. 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 If you have your Bibles or your smartphones, I want to ask you to turn with us to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 39. Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 39. There you will find these words. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, not height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to talk for just a moment this morning from this subject. You are going to win. You are going to win. Amen. Thank you, ushers. There are seasons in life when it feels like everything is working against you. You pray and the answer doesn't come. You sow and the harvest doesn't show. You trust and the door still will not open. You laugh in public but cry in private. You smile on Sunday and struggle on Monday. You tell everybody I'm doing all right while carrying burdens that nobody knows about. Do I have a witness this morning? Life has a way of confronting us with situations that make us question whether victory is really possible. Somebody this morning is fighting a financial battle. Somebody is carrying family burdens. Somebody is dealing with relational disappointment. Somebody came into this sanctuary dragging the weight of grief, pain, uncertainty, frustration, and exhaustion. And if the enemy had his way, he would convince you that the battle you're facing is the final chapter of your story. But I came this morning with an announcement from heaven. I didn't come to tell you that you won't have battles. I did not come to tell you that you won't have to deal with scars. I didn't come to tell you that you won't have to deal with struggles. But I did come to tell you that your struggle is not your sentence. I did come to tell you that your battle is not your burial ground. I did come to tell you that your pain is not your permanent address. Because when God writes the final chapter, the believer always wins. Oh, I thought somebody was shot right through there. I said, because when God writes the final chapter, the believer always wins. Paul reaches Romans chapter 8 like a lawyer representing evidence. He starts out with no condemnation. He walks through sanctification. He moves through suffering. He celebrates adoption. He shouts about glorification. Then he reaches the end of the chapter and starts asking questions like a lawyer. But y'all, these are not questions that Paul asked because Paul is uncertain. These are questions that he asked because he already knows the answer. He's so convinced of God's power, so convinced of Christ's work, so convinced of God's love that he starts asking questions with victory already built into them. Who can be against us? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And y'all, every answer leads to one conclusion: you are going to win. Can I get somebody to tell your neighbor, look at him and say, neighbor? No, come on, tell him like you believe it. Say, neighbor, you are going to win. Give God a hand of praise in this place. And I know I'm right about it this morning because this text is tailored to teach us, first of all, that you're going to win because God is for you. Look, verse 31, it says, for what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Notice what Paul does not say. He does not say that nobody will be against you. Because if you've lived long enough, I said if you've lived long enough, you know that in this life, somebody's always going to be against you. Do I have a witness today? Problems will oppose you. People will oppose you. Pressure will oppose you. Critics will oppose you. Demons will oppose you. Systems will oppose you. Circumstances will oppose you. The devil himself will oppose you. Paul understands that opposition is inevitable. What he's really asking us is, who can successfully stand against you when God is on your side? Oh my, oh my, oh my. Y'all, the power of this text is not in the absence of opposition. The power of the text is in the presence of God. Because there's a difference between fighting by yourself and fighting with God on your side. I ought to have at least one or two witnesses up in here. Amen. Amen. Where come here, Bible readers. Where are my Bible readers who remember that David faced Goliath? Moses faced Pharaoh. Joshua faced Jericho. Daniel faced some lions. The Hebrew boys had to deal with a fight. Paul faced prison. Jesus faced Calvary. And every one of them had enemies, but every one of them also had God. Is there anybody in here this morning who can say, I'm glad I got God. I'm glad I got God. That's shouting ground right there. Because your confidence is not in what you're facing. Your confidence is in who's facing it with you. When God is for you, giants fall. I said, when God is for you, walls crumble. When God is for you, storms pass over. When God is for you, chains break. When God is for you, doors open. When God is for you, mountains move, demons tremble, victories manifest. Give him praise in this place. And so, y'all, the reason, Reverend Dorsey, the enemy cannot destroy you is because God has already decided to sustain you. The reason your enemies cannot stop you is because God has already chosen to support you. The reason the attack cannot take you out is because God has already declared that you belong to him. Oh my, oh my, just like a lawyer, Paul keeps pressing his case. Verse 32, look at what he says. He says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. In other words, if God gave you Jesus, why would he hold back anything that is necessary for your victory? If he gave his best, he gave his son. And why are you worried about that light bill? Come on, come on. If he gave his best, he gave his son. Why are you worried about what your haters are saying? Why are you worried about what your enemies are saying? If he gave his son, I wish I just had two or three folk up in here who could appreciate the fact that if God gave the very best that he has for you and for me, then I'm foolish enough to believe there ain't nothing, Sister Mallet, he's going to withhold from me. There is nothing he's not going to do to help ensure that I walk in victory, that I talk in victory, that I praise in victory, that I live in victory. Give him praise in this place. As a matter of fact, the cross is God's receipt that he's committed to your future. Every time you see a cross, you ought to, amen, get excited. Every time you look at that empty cross, it ought to be a reminder to you that God has promised me that if he took care of my past sin, if he took care of my present affliction, if he's already taken care of my future mistakes and mess ups, then I've got a guarantee. I'm walking around with my head held high because I got a guarantee that my heavenly Father watching over me. If he gave his son, he'll give you strength. If he gave his son, he'll give you grace. If he gave his son, he'll give you wisdom. If he gave his son, he'll give you peace. If he gave his son, he'll give you endurance. He'll give you provision. He'll give you direction. He'll give you what you need when you need it. And because God is for you, you're going to win. Amen. I said, you're going to win. But not only because God is for you are you going to win, but there's another reason, and it's right in the text. Verse 34 says, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, here it is, who also maketh intercession for us. You're going to win because God is for you, but secondly, Paul says, you're going to win because Jesus is praying for you. Oh, y'all, I appreciate y'all's prayers. I appreciate every time somebody gets up and says, Lord, bless our pastor, and amen. I thank you for all of that. But do y'all know what really excites me? I'm excited to know that Jesus, when he got on that cloud and went back to heaven, the Bible says he's seated at the right hand of the throne of God, and he's not just sitting there. He's praying for us. I said he's praying for us. I said he's praying for us. You ought to thank him today. So Paul moves. He moves from God's provision to Christ's prayer. Jesus died. He rose. He ascended. And now he's interceding. That's shouting news right there. Because Jesus did not finish his work at Calvary. He's still working right now. At this very moment, while we worship, he's interceding. While we struggle, he's interceding. While we cry, he's interceding. While we're fighting, he's interceding. While we doubt, he's interceding. The enemy is accusing, Jesus is advocating. The enemy says, that Negro's guilty. Jesus is saying, but he's covered by my blood. The enemy says they have failed, but Jesus says they're forgiven. The enemy says he's weak or she's weak, but Jesus says my grace is sufficient. The enemy says they don't deserve it, but Jesus says my blood has already paid for it. Can I park right here for just a moment? You don't know how many attacks have been blocked in your life Because Jesus was praying for you. So that's why I tell church folk, y'all got to be careful how you come up in here on Sunday, because sometimes we come in here like we made it, you know, because we're so smart and because we got friends in high places and all of that, not realizing, amen, that there were plans that had been planned against us. And the only reason they did not succeed, it was not because you were so smart. It was not because I got a degree from Southern University. It is because Jesus himself was praying for me. Is there anybody here today who can thank God that he was praying for you? You don't know how many traps were set that Jesus dismantled. You don't know how many dangers were approaching that Jesus turned around. You don't know how many nervous breakdowns never happened because Jesus was standing in the gap. Can I give y'all my personal testimony? Y'all, amen. Y'all don't know how many times he wiped tears from my eyes. Y'all don't know how many sleepless nights he covered me. You don't know how many storms he brought me through. You don't know how many times I wanted to quit, but his grace held me together. And that's why when I come into this place, I gotta give him praise. I gotta tell him thank you. I gotta let him know how much I love him. Give him praise in this place. Peter, the apostle Peter, is proof. Amen, amen. You Bible readers will remember, amen, Jesus said to Peter, he asked him a question. He said, Simon, amen, amen. He said, Simon, Satan hath desired to sift you. Satan wanted you. Satan was after you. Amen. But then Jesus said, but I have prayed for you. Can I tell you something? The reason Peter stumbled but didn't stay down was because Jesus prayed for the brother. The reason Peter failed but wasn't finished is because Jesus prayed for the brother. The reason Peter denied Christ, yet he still preached at Pentecost, was because Jesus prayed for him. And the reason you're still here, the reason you're still standing, the reason you're still worshiping, the reason you're still praising, the reason you're still believing, the reason you're still hoping, the reason you're still smiling, the reason you're still serving, still surviving, is because Jesus has been praying for you. Give him praise in this place. And when Jesus prays for you, you're going to win. I said, you're going to win. But I got one more reason why I know you're going to win. Amen. Verse 35 ask a question. It asks, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? You're going to win because God is for you. You're going to win because Jesus is praying for you. But also, y'all, you're going to win because God's love cannot be defeated. Who shall separate us? And y'all, it's almost as if Paul is in a classroom right here and he starts calling the roll. Who shall separate us? Tribulation? Distress? Persecution? Famine? Nakedness? Peril? Sword? Then he gets to verse 37. And church, this is the shouting verse in the text. Let me back up and rewind, because some of y'all didn't hear me. I said verse 37 is the shouting verse in the text. I want you to look at it. Do you see it? Do you see why verse 37 is the shouting verse in the text. It's because he says, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Some of y'all missed it. You missed it. I told you, this is the shouting verse in the text, verse 37. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved. And some of y'all thought the shout was in more than conquerors. That's not where the shout is. The shout is because he says, in these things. Y'all know how some folk can't shout till they come out. Y'all know how some folk can't shout till they get through. Y'all know how some folk can't shout till they get over. But Paul says, for the believer, your shout is that our God is so awesome, he will make you more than a conqueror in the trial, in the storm, in the battle, in the pain, in the grief, in the struggle, in the pressure, in the disappointment. Is there anybody up in Pleasant Hill this morning who can praise God? And you have to admit, I'm in the struggle, Pastor. I'm in the pain, Pastor. I'm going through it right now. But I can give my God praise because in it, I'm more than a conqueror. I've got victory. I've got joy. I got to give him praise. Come on and praise him in this place. More than a conqueror. Y'all, I've got a confession to make. I've got to admit that I'm really not theologically astute enough to tell you exactly what more than a conqueror means. I mean, just being a conqueror is good to me. But I don't have the eschatological depth to tell you what more than a conqueror is all about. But I do know this. It's not because I've been so good. I do know this. It's not because I've done everything right. Because when I check the record, I'm reminded that, amen, Jesus fought. Jesus died. Jesus conquered. Jesus rose, and now we share in his victory. And so it suggests to me the implication is that the reason we're more than conquerors is because we're standing in a victory that we really didn't win. We're living in a grace that we really didn't earn. We're celebrating a triumph that we didn't accomplish ourselves. Then Paul starts stacking terms. Neither death nor life. Death can't do it. Life can't do it. Nor angels, nor principalities. Demons can't do it. Powers can't do it. Nor things present. Today's trouble can't do it. Nor things to come. Tomorrow's uncertainty can't do it. Nor height, nothing above you, nor depth, nothing beneath you, nor any other creature. What is that? Nothing anywhere, nothing ever, nothing at all can separate us from God's love. Y'all, that is victory. That is victory. Because if God's love reaches you in your worst moment, then your worst moment can never define you. If God's love reached you in your sin, then your sin cannot stop his love. If God's love reached you in your failure, then your failure is not final. Because God's love is stronger than your past. God's love is stronger than your mistakes. His love is stronger than your fears. His love is stronger than your enemies. His love is stronger than your battles. His love is stronger than your scars. His love is stronger than your suffering. And that is why, my brothers and sisters, you are going to win. I know sometimes